Fathers, all parents really understand the challenges of balancing work and home life. That was the message from New York Mets second baseman Daniel Murphy when he spoke at a White House fatherhood summit earlier this week. He sparked a debate nationally when he missed the first two games of the season for his son's birth.
Murphy's desire to take time away from work for family is one shared increasingly by men around the country. In a recent Boston College survey, 77% of men said they wish they had more time with their kids, and more than half the men said that if finances permitted, they'd give up their jobs and stay home with their children.
Policies don't always align with that desire to spend more time as dads. A fifth of American men have access to paternity leave, compared to a third of women in maternity leave. And overall, American parents are the only ones in the high-income world without universal access to paid parental leave.
As we head into Father's Day weekend, U.S. Secretary of Labor Thomas Perez joins us to talk about what the Obama administration is doing to help working fathers.
Secretary Perez, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, we've seen a big change in family and work life over the last 4 or 5 decades. More women in the workforce, more men staying home or juggling a job and family. Many families, of course, have two working parents. Have we learned lessons along the way, along that shift?
Well, I think you're exactly right, Rob. The workplace has changed. The economy has changed. Technology's changed. Gender roles have changed. This isn't your father's fatherhood. And we now live in a modern family society, and one of my concerns is we're still living by a lot of the Leave It to Beaver rules. Workplace flexibility here in the United States is all too limited for all too many people. My daughter recently graduated from high school, and I needed to skip a cabinet meeting in order to attend that, and I was able to do so because I had the flexibility, and the president said it was okay. But all too many people across this country, they have to win the boss lottery in order to take their son or daughter to the doctor, or take their mother or father to the doctor, or to go to their son's recital or their daughter's recital. And you compare the United States with other industrialized nations, and we're really far behind on issues of workplace flexibility. There are only a few countries in the world, Swaziland, Lesotho, Papua New Guinea, and the United States of America. These are the only four nations that have no form of paid parental leave in the world. Well, and other countries have figured this out, and they figured out that you shouldn't have to choose between the family you love and the job that you need. And that's what we do all too frequently here in the United States.
Before we get into what companies can do, what the government might do, do we need a culture change, changing what we expect of fathers?
Well, I think we're seeing that culture change. More women are in the workplace, and I think that has helped to grow our economy. And more men are full-time caregivers. A generation ago, it was 1% of fathers were home full-time. We've moved up to 7%. And so we're seeing the culture change. And regrettably, today's policies have not kept pace with changing attitudes, changing practices, changing phenomenon. And that's why you see such increased stress. When I talk to parents across this country about the things that keep them up at night, this work-family balance is always at the top of the list, because too many parents are sending their kid to school sick because they have no choice. They have to go to work.
Well, the culture has changed, the reality has changed, but I don't know about expectations. You, on Monday, had New York Mets infielder Daniel Murphy. He sparked controversy. He spoke at the White House, but he had taken paternity leave very early in the season and got a lot of mockery in the sports world and beyond. Have we adjusted our expectations of fathers?
Well, I thought it was unfortunate that some folks chose to criticize a decision that he made. I thought he was heroic. The birth of my three children were the three most exciting and remarkable days of my life. And the notion that I would have missed it to be at a baseball park or to be at a workplace is unimaginable to me. And so I take my hat off to him. And I would note that part of the reason Daniel was able to do it is because in the collective bargaining agreement with Major League Baseball, he had the right to do it. And in today's society, all too frequently, people don't enjoy the benefits that come from collective bargaining because so many less people are unionized, and so they don't have those benefits. And he is really an example of the rights you get when you avail yourselves of collective bargaining. And I applaud him for what he did, even though I am not a Mets fan and never will be.
Well, in the absence of collective bargaining, what steps would you like to see companies take to make work schedules more flexible for dads or for parents in general, for that matter?
Well, we've seen a number of states take steps to provide for paid leave. And a number of studies in the aftermath of California, for instance, demonstrated that it had none of the ill effects that opponents had predicted. There have been studies of companies that voluntarily put in place progressive leave policies, and it showed actually for publicly traded companies that their stock value went up. And in fact, when you were the first company in your industry to do it, your stock value went up even more. Because if I'm a working parent and I'm looking at a new job, those are questions that I ask. You know, what is my company going to do if I need to take my daughter to the doctor, or I want to go to my son's recital? These are real questions, and companies have recognized that this isn't simply the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do, and those companies are getting ahead.
Now, these jobs that have flexibility that we hear about are often middle-class knowledge economy jobs. What about people who are working at lower wages, a business owner saying, hey, I need somebody at the front counter of my retail store, I need somebody on my light assembly line now, not at some random flexible time? Is flexibility a reality for those kind of jobs?
Well, and that's why collective bargaining is so important, because a lot of collective bargaining agreements have built in this flexibility in workplaces, retail sectors, manufacturing sectors, and elsewhere that give that flexibility. And so that sort of that the question that you ask, Rob, really illustrates yet again how I think collective bargaining can play a really important role.
Well, given that a lot of those workers don't have collective bargaining, probably aren't going to get it anytime soon, do you see a role for the federal government, for the Obama administration, in Congress, of course? What could change? What would you like to see from the federal government?
Well, there's a number of things that we're doing. In the immediate future, the president is hosting on the 23rd of June a Working Families Summit here in Washington, D.C., and we've hosted a half a dozen regional summits across the country. And it's amazing the attendance that we have gotten. It's amazing the feedback that we have gotten. And what we've heard consistently is this: we live in a modern family world, and we've got to get away from Leave It to Beaver policies. We're supporting at the Department of Labor funding to assist states that want to implement progressive leave policies. And again, there are a number of states that are experimenting. California and Connecticut are two states that have put in place progressive leave policies, and we have seen that those policies have been very well received. California and New Jersey, for instance, provide 6 weeks of paid family leave, and it's funded through very easy means. And so companies that were surveyed recently showed that while they had concerns initially, those concerns have not come to pass.
Is this something that the president can do with an executive order, or does he need to get Congress to pass it? And if so, is there going to be bipartisan support to make that happen in both houses?
Well, there was bipartisan support 20 years ago or so when the Family Medical Leave Act passed, and that has become part of the American fabric. And the challenge with the family medical leave is that it's unpaid, and that puts us at a competitive disadvantage with the rest of the world. This is really bread and butter for parents and families across America. And we want people not only to make enough money to put food on the table, we want people to be home at the table eating with their children. And as a result of the failure to pass the minimum wage and the flatness of wage growth, too many people are not at the dinner table because they got to work a second and a third job. And others don't have the flexibility because if they got to take a couple hours off, they get docked. And so they have to choose the job that they need over the family that they love.
You mentioned the Family, Medical, and Leave Act and the required unpaid leave. That also only applies to, I think, about 60% of workers because it only applies to larger employers. Would you like to see that provision expanded to include more employers and their employees?
Sure. I mean, we're working to expand the reach of the Family and Medical Leave Act. And also, again, I think paid leave is very important. I mean, for all too many Americans here, the Family and Medical Leave Act is effectively irrelevant because they simply can't afford to take even a day off of unpaid leave, let alone any more than that. And so people who are working low-wage jobs, they really have no recourse. That's why Connecticut and California and others who have put in place paid leave systems are really ahead of the curve, and I think that's where the nation will be. Change. I'm a civil rights lawyer and a labor rights lawyer. I look at some of the most important laws we've put in place in our nation's history, and they've taken time. This is the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It was first introduced in 1948, and I'm confident that there were people who said, this is awful for America. And we know now today that those people were wrong. It's part of the American landscape of opportunity. And I think paid leave is part of today's and hopefully tomorrow's landscape of opportunity for working families who are struggling to make ends meet, who need that flexibility in the modern workplace to attend to their most sacred obligation to be a good parent and also attend at the same time to their obligations in the workplace.
More broadly, you mentioned the minimum wage. We hear a lot about wealth gap, income gap in this country. Over the next few years, what do you see as the employment and income prospects for people, you know, at the medium or lower family income?
Well, I'm bullish about the future for the following reason. I speak to employers across this country, including Wisconsin, and they are very bullish about the future. I spoke to manufacturers, for instance, in Wisconsin a few months ago when I visited, and they want to bring business back home. Those who have a global footprint, they need workers with skills. We talked a lot about the skilled trades in Wisconsin. The average age, they told me, of a person in the skilled trades in Wisconsin is 59 years old. They're nearing retirement. There's opportunities for young people to grow into these jobs in the skilled trades that pay a middle-class wage and enable you to have ladders of opportunity. And we also have to make sure that we reward work by paying a fair wage. That's why we're fighting so hard to raise the minimum wage. And so many states have done so, most recently Vermont a few days ago, where the governor signed an increase in the minimum wage. 11 states in the last year have signed increases in the minimum wage. Wisconsin was once a pretty progressive state in terms of wage fairness, and I hope it will again become a progressive state in that area, because too many people are working a full-time job and living in poverty in Wisconsin and across the country, and that's not who we are as a nation.
Secretary Perez, thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Have a nice day.
We've been speaking with U.S. Secretary of Labor Thomas Perez about the challenge American parents are facing to balance work and home life.